My beloved people, I wish only from the bulletin, at least this most recent bulletin, to bring to your attention that the calendars for next year are now available, and that if any of you wish calendars, I think the next time we come, we'll bring them along with us. See Mrs. Roy, and they will be the same price as they have been before. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, this, of course, will be the last time that I will see you before Advent. And the next time that we come here will be Advent. So therefore, we should spend a few moments' time this morning thinking on preparing ourselves for Advent and the season of Advent, and preparing ourselves in such a way that this season of Advent will be for us a source of interior growth. Please be reminded, in spite of the fact that I encourage the use of the home chapels and the little home altars that we have, that we do not allow ourselves to become captured by the use of external things, by the use of external prayers. Now, on the one hand, we encourage prayers. On the other hand, I tell you not to be captured by these unless you use the right approach. There are those prayers which we say, what we're looking for, rather, I should say, we're looking for a guarantee to salvation. We're looking to do those things which will be for us a source of saying, if I do this, I will certainly be guaranteed that. Almighty God does not operate that way. We must use prayer in such a way that the attitude of that prayer will, if I may use the word for lack of a choice of a better one, so that the attitude of that prayer will spill over into the attitude that we have at the other parts of the day, at our work, at our recreation, at our traveling about from place to place. And as we pray, this attitude will be over and be over us as a warmth. And vice versa, that as we will have in our daily lives the attitude of kindness, the attitude of purity, the attitude of patience, the attitude of justice and honesty, that this attitude now will spill itself over to those moments of prayer, that one is assisting the other. And as we examine ourselves, as we look into ourselves, what kind of conduct are we putting into practice when we are away from the time of prayer? Do we actually put into practice in our conduct that which we pray for? I have complained on numerous occasions that our practice today is to place emphasis on exterior observations. The day might come, the day might probably come, when our exteriors, the use of even no more than what we have here for the sacrifice of the Mass, the day might come when even this might be taken away from us. Then what do we do? My beloved people, the interior life of the soul is not discussed. And since we do not discuss the interior life of the soul, we are not prepared for it, because Almighty God very often, and to very many people, to very many good people, and to very many of the best people, of the elect, Almighty God puts us into a dark night. And we do not see Him. We do not hear Him. And it is with the greatest of anguish that we try to be with Him. And the cares of the world gobble us up, suck us up, like a sponge sucks up water. And the cares of the world soak us up. And Almighty God is so far removed from us. And we wonder if He truly loves us. It is at these moments that we have to exercise faith. I fear that the faith of too many of us, I don't mean here with us here this morning, but to too many of us who proclaim to be protectors of the holy traditions of the church, are doing this for all the wrong reasons. The traditions of the church as we see them, the few paltry things that we have left, could easily be taken away from us. Look what the first swing of the serpent's tail has done. Unless our faith is deeply rooted in our souls, the serpent is getting ready for another sweep of the tail. And the thing that we have to worry more about than anything else is, who will he get this time? And if we place our trust, if we place our trust in the wrong things, we will not have the faith, the interior faith, that is required to be able to jump out of the way of the swing of that tail. We are dealing with the agents of hell. And unless we use the right weapons to fight the agents of hell, we will not succeed. And surrounding ourselves with the armor, the exterior armor that is oftentimes handed to us to use, is not good enough. He will penetrate that. The one thing you cannot penetrate is the interior strength of the soul. And we do not emphasize that enough. We think we've got to go out and fight somebody. We think we've got to go out and conquer somebody. We think we've got to go out and destroy something. To destroy the enemy. We're not going to destroy anybody. And we haven't been able to grasp the situation that in using this approach over the past 40 years of going through the desert, in the past 40 years, how much ground have we gained? We haven't gained anything. And we think that because in this little area, this tiny little area, we see growth. My dear people, that is no more than a drop of water in the great ocean. But we are so self-centered that we see the drop and forget all about the ocean. Forget that drop. We're all in the same precarious position. And prayer, the right kind of prayer, I did not say prayers in the plural. I'm saying prayer, which means that this is like, it's not like a cloak which can be removed from me. But prayer which is in my soul and which no man, no agent of hell can take away from me. This is what we have to develop. And this has to be done in the proper way. Advent is a time of preparation. Undoubtedly, this must be and will be a very interesting Advent. It should be. This will be the last Advent that we shall experience in this period of 1,000 years. That in itself is something to think about. In this last opportunity that we have to prepare ourselves for this coming of Christ in the season of Christmas, let us, in the name of heaven, do it right. This does not mean that we have to surround ourselves and close our eyes. Remember today's gospel. Let the weeds grow along at the same time that the wheat is growing. He did not say, go out and destroy the weeds. But our approach is to go out and destroy the weeds. And while we're in the process of destroying the weeds, we are really uprooting some of the wheat. And we don't believe that. We think that we have to go out and destroy the weeds. Let the weeds alone. Protect the wheat. But the approach of too many of us is go out and destroy the weeds. And we become so engrossed, so taken up with the destruction of the weeds, that we forget all about the wheat. And our souls suffer because we are not living the life of seclusion. Christmas is coming. Look at it. You can't go out there and say, Christmas is not there. Christmas is there. The worldly Christmas is there. The Christmas of the world is there. You cannot block that out of view. You cannot take that away from your children. You cannot tell your children, don't look. For Christmas comes only when Christ arrives. And your children will not look in the day after Christ arrives. And all the other children, put Christmas aside and forget about it. Your own children will not have had anybody to talk to about Christmas. And they're left empty. Prepare your children, yes, with prayer. But also give them the right perspective. Give them the right perspective of Christmas. We ourselves must get the right perspective of Christmas. That it is a beautiful and a wonderful occasion. We do not know, but that this may be the last one, we don't know that. Excuse me. We do not know that this one is the last one. Everybody is setting dates. After this, something is going to happen on this date. Something is going to happen on this date. Something is going to happen on this date. And we keep waiting. And the days go by and nothing happens. And it goes on and on and on. And there are those who are out there for whatever reason, or whose ever reason, who are constantly keeping us stirred, wondering, and fighting, and moving, and progressing up a road that so far leads nowhere. The only thing that I must be concerned about, and that alone, is my own private, personal, spiritual advancement. That's all I can do. And I am not a committee of one to take on the entire world. I have more than I can handle in trying to conquer me. And I go out and try to conquer the world. But you see, while I am trying to conquer the world, I forget all about me. And in the last analysis, when it is time for the man to go out and gather the wheat, he is not going to be asked about the weeds. How many weeds did he pull up and burn? He's going to be talked to about only the wheat. What have you done? How have you improved? Have you become an inch closer? Did you strive to become an inch closer to sanctity? I may have won the battle in this regard, and in all probability lost the war. I am the one that I have to conquer. Think of your own confessions and see to what extent we have successfully conquered ourselves. The little things, if we cannot overcome, the tiny little fragments of impatience, if we cannot overcome the tiny little specks of anger, if we cannot conquer the tiny little specks of self-love, I mean the tiniest little flecks of self-love, how on earth do we think we can pick up with some kind of magical sword and destroy sin off the face of the earth? My dear people, it is time that we put the thinking of a child away. When I can say I have conquered myself in these areas, if ever, when I can say that, then I can take on everything else. But until that, my one and only concern must be the little things that I am unable to overcome. Advent looks after these little things that need to be overcome. Not in spectacular demonstrations of great religious experiences, which don't mean a hill of beans. And we go to these religious experiences almost as if we're going there with the same approach as going to a circus. And we prepare ourselves to these great and enormous religious experiences. We expect the manifestation of God all over the place. If God cannot manifest himself to me in my little speck of impatience or anger or self-love or self-pity or self-anything else, if I cannot see God in that little bit, how on earth do I expect to see the greatness of God burst forth with some splendorous way at other times? This is what we must do during Advent. The splendor of God, the splendor of God manifests itself to me best when I am able to conquer unnoticeably, when I am able to conquer that tiny speck of dust of anger or impatience or whatever. That's when God's greatness manifests itself the best to me. And I need not look elsewhere. I should not look elsewhere for this great splendorous gift of God or manifestation of God. It's inside of me. And I'm looking every place but inside of me, where the business transaction is taking place. Now, does that make sense? And we have all kinds of agencies and things that are constantly presenting themselves to us and that are keeping our minds completely clouded. And they're keeping our minds completely in that they feed the darkness of the night. And we simply will not do anything to overcome this. That little bit of pride, that lot of bit of pride, pride that will simply keep me from saying, it is I that I have to conquer. It is in me or not in me that I must look. Or rather, it is only in me that I must look for the manifestation of God. Christ himself said, when I come the second time, will I find any faith on earth? He is not looking for a horde of people with a lot of hoopla. People coming from all the parts of the earth to come to see the great manifestation. The only thing that he is expecting and hoping, the only thing that he is hoping for when he asks the question, where are you? And he is hoping to hear a tiny little voice that is humble, that is quiet, that is long-suffering, that is trying, and who believes. A tiny little voice saying, here am I, Lord. And he is not going to ask that tiny little voice and say, well, what have you done to conquer the universe for my cause? He is not going to ask me that. He is not going to ask me, what have you proved for the benefit of my cause? He's simply going to say, you love me, and I love you. Come to me, my son, or my daughter. It's as simple as that. It's as private as that. We expect the sun and the moon and the stars and everything else to go dancing in the sky, dancing, 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 and the power of God is going to be every place manifested to all men. No. The power of God is going to manifest itself only in the quietness, in the privacy, in the holiness of my little heart. That's where it's always been. That's where it has always been from the beginning of time. And we are trying to turn it into something that it is not. Let us learn, my beloved people. It is not a matter of me putting on my soldier's uniform and going out and conquering the world. It is a matter, rather, of me falling on my own knees and saying, I am an unworthy servant, O Lord. I have never given you that which is yours. I have been too selfish in keeping it for myself. These are the things that we must think about during Advent in preparation. And if the weeds are growing around me, that should not affect one bit the fruitfulness of my holiness. Let the weeds grow where they will. I have no time to worry about the weeds. I must worry only about me. This is not to say that I must go through life with a very selfish, self-centered. I'm going to save me regardless. You know very well what I mean, my beloved people. These are the approaches that we must take. And our prayer must be simple, must be humble, and must be the prayer that Christ wants of us. I believe, and it's not to go according to what we all know is presently happening, lest perhaps you might get the idea that I'm saying, so long as I believe, everything else is all right. I didn't say that. I didn't imply that. But I must believe, and in my belief will put me on my knees. And my belief will cause me to do that which is necessary to save my immortal soul. Privately, in my own little room, remember what the man said when he was asked, what do you do in church for so long? And his answer was, I look at him, and he looks at me. Nothing more is expected from any of us. I look at him, and he looks at me. Does that mean that that little man saw great clouds of bursts, of sunbursts and glory, and did he hear angels fluttering all over the place? Not a bit. In the silence of his heart, he looked at him, and in the silence of Christ's heart, Christ looked back. That's all. It's as simple as that, my beloved people.